Blog Talk Radio.
What's going on? Welcome to the Progressive Action TV show. As you see, what's going on, everyone? Welcome to the Progressive Action TV show. Y'all see the name of the title? Y'all see the name of the show? They bringing me up on discipline charges again. What's going on, everyone? Welcome to the Progressive Action TV show. I am your host, Tramell Thompson. And y'all see the title of the show today. I'm public enemy number one when it comes to the NTA. And they brought me up on charges again. These people are out of control. And today, we're going to discuss all the charges, all the charges. All of them is written for dismissal. Look, a whole, God, look at all this, man, all of this. Woo. We're going to discuss these charges. I'm going to let y'all know what I'm up against. All of it is nothing bogus, to be honest with you. It's from dating back from 2020. So picture this. 2024, they bringing up stuff that happened in 2020. This is insane, but it shows you how much they want me. It shows you why I'm public enemy number one. And I get it. I respect it. You know, I put out a lot of information that they don't want out there. I know what the consequences are, but one thing I ain't going to allow them to do is try to limit my free speech, determine how I should feed my family, and bully me. That's what they basically trying to do. So we're going to discuss these charges, these new charges on me. But before I do that, I need you guys to like the video. We got to break this algorithm. Make sure that y'all like the video. Make sure y'all share it. If you're watching on YouTube, make sure to subscribe to the channel. It's 99 cents. If you're watching on Facebook, share this on your personal page. Share this in your groups. Do all of that. And if you want to donate to the platform, y'all see where to do it at. $Progressive Action 100. But before I get into that and all this discipline stuff, let me make sure everything is good, man. Let me check. You know, they be shutting down my live sometime, playing with my sound, all types of stuff. Let me make sure everything's good. Let me just check the comments because I believe y'all. I'll be like, oh, your sound messed up. All right, let me check this real quick. Yeah, I need y'all. Hold on. Let me, because it's not. I need y'all. Oh, I got to do that too. Hold on a second. Well, I'm taking this time to share it out. I need y'all to share it out, too. Let me see. No, let me just do that. All right. Let me just make sure everything is all good. Let's see. Okay, let me get that going. Let me get this going. Yeah, we're going to talk about it today. We're definitely going to talk about it. Oh, and before I get into anything, the MTA don't like this right here. We got some Progressive Action hats. Just look into the description of the page of this post, of this video. Look at the description of the video. Get your Progressive Action hats. We got a few flavors. You see them? Get your crown. Get your Progressive Action crown. The link is in the description of the video. Now, the first thing I want to touch on before I get into this discipline stuff, I want to touch on some stuff that Vice President of MAP STOA, Donald Yates, was saying about the MTA attempting to create a wall between Local 100 and NYPD. So let's look at what Yates had to say. The MTA playing dirty, trying to turn the NYPD against the TWU, Union Division 101. Fix the problem, stop deflecting. The MTA is making untrue statements. Who attacked the NYPD comms affairs appears that there's a blame shift instead of fixing the problems concerning crime and on the bus and subways. We at Local 100 understand the MTA doesn't care, but it's impacting our customers. We don't want graphs. We want solutions. We don't want punishments for any availability issue that the MTA has created for not keeping Local 100 members safe as outlined in the workplace violence and protection law. Donald Yates, Local 100, everyone, transit workers, or whatever the case, whatever he's saying right there, right? Let me do this real quick. Let me just put that there real quick. They, hold on a second. All right, let me leave that there. They are crazy. See, what boggles my mind in all this is why they acting like they don't have no responsibility to what's going on here. Now, let's be clear. What Yates was saying was 1,000% on point. Because when I read it, I say, yo, is Tim Minton trying to start a war between Davis, NYPD, and the mayor? This makes absolutely no sense, but this is what they do. This is what they do, right? So Yates is not wrong in his comments. Where he's wrong at is that he's speaking as if he's not a vice president of a department. They have every right to shut down unsafe work. And they failed to do it. They talking about availability issues. Guess what, Yates? Did you read the contract these past couple of years? The union agreed to be in bed with management regarding employee availability and gain sharing. A contract that you overwhelmingly told members to vote for. So why now are you bringing up? Why are you bringing it up now? It makes absolutely, absolutely no sense. Now I want to get into this next post that he made, and I think he did it today. I want to touch on this next post. But he said the MTA putting Local 100 members in danger by misrepresenting the truth on statements claimed that we criticize the NYPD. Shame on the MTA. How are they putting us in danger? How are they putting us in danger? We are already at danger. Is he not reading the crime stats? We already at danger. But once again, the union administration fails to protect us. They did not create any type of mechanism safety-wise in our last contract that they went to crew room to crew room to crew room telling us to vote yes as if crime was not up when this contract was being negotiated. They acting like that they have no accountability or they not responsible for this. Forget about what the communications director at the MTA is trying to do. What are y'all doing to keep us safe? There's plenty of videos and pictures of the NYPD out there sleeping in our crew rooms. If you're paying attention to anything that the station agents and the cleaners in the stations are saying about the confrontations with police in those rooms. But y'all failing to address that. Right now, I don't agree with Tim Minton at all. He should not have done that. But at the same time, you guys are not doing anything. Anything whatsoever. And guess what? He's complaining. And look what he was saying on the internet not too long ago. Let's play it again. Let's play it one more time. This is your union rep telling the world that members go out on workers' comp, some for good reason, and some because they just don't want to be here. If you have a union rep saying that, how can they defend any member in a workers' comp situation if the MTA feel like they only taking comp because they don't want to be there? How does that work? How does that work? You have your union rep saying that some people don't want to be here, some for good reason, some because they just don't want to be here. This is who we have representing us. They representing us. And nobody don't see no problem with that? That's crazy. That's crazy. Now, for what everybody been waiting for, and I want to let y'all know, the phone lines are open, 563-999-3714. A lot of people want to know what the MTA is trying to fire me for now. Right? Like I said in the beginning of the show, the charges are going back, dating back to 2020. And I'm going to break some of this down for y'all. I'm not going to get too much in detail, but I'm going to give y'all enough of to show y'all what they charging me with, right? Let me see. Let's start off with this. Three charges here. So the first one, if y'all remember, I think y'all remember I did this show. There was an incident, and they call it an incident. I never had an incident with this guy. With TSS Sowinder, right? They said that I posted a photo and details about TSS Sowinder, and I promised to give him a reality check, which the TSS and his union considered a threat, right? Now, SIR, SIU, whatever they want to call themselves now, said that it wasn't a threat, right? But they are, and this is from 2021, guys, 2021, 3 years ago. They are saying that as a result of my post, that somebody that I don't know said crucify him, which caused the TSS to be alarmed. And then they say I posted an internal email that wasn't addressed to me, right? They said they find that to be gross misconduct, that a TSS was lying on me, got the email, right? Now, let me tell y'all something about this Sowinder guy. Let me tell y'all something about this Surrender God. Matter of fact, let's look at See Through New York. Are y'all familiar with See Through New York? Y'all familiar with See Through New York? Let's take a look again. Because the MTA is picking and choosing how they handle these things, right? But let's take a look at See Through New York. Now, and I just want to point out something. Because, you know, one of the charges they got me written up for is dual employment. So let's take a look at Mr. Surrender. As you can see, he worked for the MTA, and he also worked at the police department, right? So let's just pull up a random year. Let's look at this. Traffic enforcement agent, 2008. Let's look at another one from the police department. Traffic enforcement agent in 2011. All right, let's look at some Metropolitan Transit Department. Matter of fact, let's look at the 2011. Let's focus on the 2011. You see, that's 2012. That's 2011. Wait, hold up. Well, they could say, he was a conductor in 2011, and he was a traffic enforcement agent in 2011. Let's look at this. 2013, a train operator. 2009, a traffic agent. Let me see. Let me look at this one. What's this one again? 2012. Let me see this one. 2011. Let me look at one of the lower ones. Let me see. Police department. Interesting. This is interesting right here. 2011. Wait, let me find another one. Just to be clear. Unless you're trying to change something. 2012. Matter of fact, let me open up all these. 2008, he worked as a traffic enforcement agent. Let me see. 2012, traffic enforcement agent. 2013, traffic enforcement agent, right? How in 2013, he made $41,000 as a traffic enforcement agent? And in 2011, he was a conductor. That looks like someone who possibly or allegedly had dual employment, right? 2012. Let me go back to it. 2012, conductor. 2012, traffic enforcement agent. Interesting. 2011. Traffic enforcement agent, 2011, conductor. I don't know. Y'all tell me. Does that look like dual employment? Allegedly, by Mr. Surrender? The MTA don't care about that, though, because I'm public enemy number one. Right? Let's look at another charge they charged me with this internet stuff. All this is social media. And I want to make it clear. I don't have not one operational infraction on my record. I don't have no time and attendance on my record. Everything on my record is tied to my activism. Right? They hit me with something in 2021 again. In December. Posting of a lewd video. And the video was something I found on the internet of some guy approached a sleeping woman on the train, pulled out his penis, masturbated, and came on her. Right? They saying that my video violated the social media and respectful workplace violence policies. To me, that's a safety issue. We have plenty of women coworkers who travel on a train, and they got this weirdo out there doing that. So instead of them trying to fix the safety issues. They disciplined me for posting a video complaining about the safety issue. I mean, wouldn't y'all want to know if there's a guy approaching passengers on the train, pulling out his package and coming on them? Wouldn't you want to know that? Nah, the MTA don't want you to know that. They don't want you to know that. Because you know why? They disciplined me for posting a video I found on the internet. Now, the next thing that they hit me with is for saying I made false claims about the gambling operation at 38th Street Yard. That's not a secret that everybody knows about. But for some reason, the people at 2 Broadway, the investigators at 130 Livingston, act like they don't know about it. But there's so many superintendents in the field that knows what's going on, right? Now, they investigated. Do they expect for people to cop out to that? You would need hard-pressed evidence, right? Why didn't they? Well, it's nothing that they could do. They not go admit to that because they'd rather sweep it up under the rug than admit that there's some kind of gambling operation happening at 38th Street Yard. And this is the funny thing. The superintendent who told me, they never interviewed him. And he said, Tramell, you could use my name. They never interviewed him. He said, Tramell, you could tell him where you got it from. And I would tell him everything. They never interviewed him. Why didn't y'all interview him? Well, let me tell you what they did to that superintendent. They stopped him from every promotion that he put in for. That was his punishment, to deny him promotions. They don't want to talk about that. They don't want to talk about it. This is what all this is about. You see this? This is for social media, right? Let's look into the next few charges. Let's look into the next few charges. Yeah, this is another one. Thick. Written for dismissal again. These people are out of their mind. Out of their mind. I understand I'm public enemy number one. I get it. Let me see what they hit me with this one. Oh, this is a big one right here. This is a big one. They said alleged that you placed a video on YouTube embarrassing a victim of an alleged sexual assault in the subway system and publicly criticizing the MTA. Whew. Now, let me see. Alleged that you acted very inappropriately on his social media Facebook group called Progressive Action by posting a very insensitive post exposing a sensitive subject of an alleged employee sexual assault. He publicly informs more than 1,000 members of the public of what happened. Dear MTA, can you tell me how many members of the public I have in my group? That's insane. Right? So they saying that, oh, I made a big story about an employee being sexually assaulted. And they actually said something, the R word. They actually said the R word, right? And they disciplined me for that, right? So for one, inside the investigation, I gave them the text message of where that came from. And that was the rumor that was going on. So what I do? Because let's be honest. There was sexual assaults happening in the system during that same time. Matter of fact, I think there was like three of them. Not one time did the MTA alert any station agent, specifically speaking a woman. Not one time did they alert any cleaner, specifically speaking a woman. Not one time did they alert any department that these crimes was happening in the subway, and if we see something, say something. Not one time did they say or do anything. Why? Because they don't want to let you know that you're possibly in danger of being assaulted in the subways. Matter of fact, I got something even better. I have something even better. Let's play the video. Let's play a video. And this video is from the same time that I made the video about the alleged sexual assault. But let's check out the video. Do y'all see that? Not one time did the MTA alert any worker that this was happening in our offices. So guess what they do? In 2024, now, mind you, this was from 2022, another late charge. Not one time did they alert any worker that this was happening. Wouldn't you want to know if these crimes is happening in the subway, ladies? Wouldn't you want to know? But the MTA want to punish me for letting me let you know. Whether it was true or not, if I got a report, right, that this happened to someone, I have a responsibility as a shop steward, as a person who cares about their coworkers, to alert them. Rather be safe than sorry. Once again, the MTA is acting like there wasn't no sexual assaults happening at that time in that same vicinity. They never told the workers. They want us to work in the dark because they do not care about our safety. They would do everything in their power to keep us in the dark just so they could maintain high ridership levels. They would do everything in their power to keep us in the dark, to keep employee availability high. And that's what they doing. If I hear that there's an assault going on, sexual assault going on, and nobody's talking about it, even though it's the rumor, I'm going to continue to alert the people. If this was happening at 2 Broadway, they would alert the whole building. If this was happening in the vicinity of 2 Broadway and 130 Livingston, they would alert the whole building. But being that we only a number and they do not care about us, let them work in the dark. Just imagine that. Imagine what else is happening that they not telling us about. Imagine. These people is out of control. For anyone that want to call in, you can call in live, 563-993-7174. If you want to talk about anything, ask me any type of questions or whatever the case is. You see, somebody said the volume sound low. Let me turn it up. Turn it up a little bit. turn it up a little bit. But yeah, these people are out of control. Out of control. Hold on 1 second. Sound good. Now this is the last one. The dual employment. Another complaint for dismissal. This dual employment complaint was sparked by Vice President Canela Gomez. He posted on Facebook and said, I'm getting money from advertisements on my videos. They also mentioned that I'm selling stuff. Go to perfidel.com and get you a fitted snapback hat. They saying that I'm selling stuff and it's dual employment. And they also brought up me working for presidential candidate Robert F. Kennedy Jr. Let's talk about it. When I was out for COVID back in 2020, they put a FBI type investigation on me. They subpoenaed my bank accounts. They even had an investigator buy a shirt for me. Right? They tried to get me on comp fraud back in 2020. And they lost that case. It wasn't comp fraud. Right? None of the only thing I own is the name. That's it. I'm not the brains behind the operation. Not with this. And they know that. They know that. They talked about me soliciting donations. Matter of fact, donate via Cash App, $PROGRESSIVEACTION100. They bringing up old stuff. We talking about stuff from 2020. This is their investigation. Right? Now, don't y'all find it strange that they levy these charges against me after I go on a rampage criticizing Davey? Don't y'all find it strange that they levy these charges against me the year of the election? Don't y'all find it strange? Now, I was told today by my union rep that, yo, look, I know that you don't get along with Richie, but Richie want to know what's going on with the dual employment. Now, this is their issue right now. Now, Richie could play politics with this all he want, right? I take this to arbitration, which I am taking it to arbitration. If I lose this arbitration, it's going to affect the whole union because then it's set precedent. And the importance of this case is that the MTA did not pay me since I was assaulted in February 2023. Not a dime. The MTA, according to their policies, felt that I should ask them for permission to make a living, to take care of my family, and make sure that I'm not homeless, to work somewhere else. Imagine working for a company that's not paying you, but also wants you to ask for permission to go make a living somewhere else. How does that sound? Sound like you're working for a slave plantation, right? I mean, when it comes to dual employment, to me, that's some oppressive stuff right there, because they want you to be reliable on one income. They want to control how you feed your family. And the significance of this case is that if I lose this case, then anyone who's in my position, who's not getting paid by the MTA, their case is being controverted, if they decide to go get a job outside to take care of their family, even though they're in a no-pay status with the MTA, that you're not allowed to do it. And just to remind you, at that time, my case wasn't even settled. So I'm basically suspended without pay, not getting no workers' comp benefits, not getting a dime from the MTA. I didn't even get that bonus that we got during the contract. And they said, this is dual employment. They said me promoting my movement, my labor movement, and raising funds to keep this platform alive and to upgrade this platform is dual employment. They are throwing feces at the wall and trying to see what sticks. And what they're doing is that they're playing a mind game. They got me for 3 dismissals right now, which none of them is really a dismissible offense. But being that they make the rules, they're allowed to overcharge you. Just imagine, I'll give y'all an analogy. Just imagine hopping the turnstile and the judge or the prosecutor say, we go give him life in jail. That's what this essentially is. They purposely overcharge you, and this is not exclusive to me. This is one of their tactics at Two Broadway. They overcharge you, hoping to get more out of you. So an offense may only be worth 3 days and throw you 20. And then you'll be sitting there like, I can't take 20 days. You know what? I'll take 10 days. The MTA labor relations acting like they doing you a favor when you should have only got a re-instruction, when it should have only been written for 3 days. And you should have got a re-instruction. But what they do is that they overcharge you. And then when they give you a deal, they act like they're doing you a favor. This is the game that they play. Let me get to the first caller. Let me put these on for a second. I'm taking phone calls, so make sure y'all tap in.
Yo, what's up, Brother Tramell? Brother
Lenore. 1173. What's going on? How you doing?
Hey, what's going on, Tramell? Brother Lenore from Brooklyn. What's going on?
How you doing, my brother? What's on your mind?
I'm good. I'm good, man. You know what I'm saying? I tuned into the show. You know what I'm saying? I hear what they're saying. I've been know what they're doing to you. But that's what they're going to do to anybody. What they're going to do is they're trying to intimidate. You understand? You're clean, they're dirty. So dirty don't want to be clean. So dirty got to dirty everything up around them that touches them, that surrounds them, that they come across, because all they doing is dirt. But dirt can't win over clean. You understand? So every time they try to intimidate you or any other brother or sister out there in the union, or bully them or belittle them, that shows that they are less of. That tells you they know less than. But the fact of the matter is they only do that because they try to separate from the body. So all of us as a collective, if we come together, the force in that will let them know that, you know what, this group over here got the power. Either we're going to have to take care of them or take them out. So what they do, they try to take the head of the position or whoever's in charge, and hopefully everybody else scatters. But if one falls and 10 rise, they'll understand that it's inevitable that they will have to do the right thing. So the fact of the matter is, it's okay for people to join organizations and, vote for this and sign a petition. But the fact of the matter, if you don't put actions behind the deeds and execution behind the words, you ain't going no damn where. Everybody just be in a battle by themselves. Like right now, it's the war against Tramell Thompson, but it should be the war against Tramell Thompson and progressive actions and all, so that they know that they have an unwinnable fight. Do you understand?
I totally understand it. It makes perfect sense. Makes perfect sense. And you know what? The MTA, that's what they're doing. They feel like if they get rid of me, it will solve all of their problems. But one thing they're not understanding is that I'm never going to stop talking about the MTA.
Facts.
Whether I'm fired, whether I'm working, I'm never going to stop advocating for our safety. I'm never going to stop advocating for us better working conditions. I'm never going to stop advocating for us getting higher pay. I'm never going to stop. I'm never going to stop talking about their disciplinary practices, how egregious it is, and how they overcharge us and things like that. So they figure that if they continuously attack me and say, hey, look what we're doing to your leader out here. Look what we're doing to him. I dare any one of y'all to step up, so y'all next. See, the difference between me and a lot of people is that I believe in myself. I know that if I leave the MTA or they fire me, I'm going to be good. I mean, right now, I'm good.
How many others won't be good if they get fired because they're not stepping up?
That's the thing.
Yeah.
The MTA know that, right? And I'm not faulting nobody. I don't want people to follow me if they don't got a backup plan or they don't believe in themselves. I'm going to be good, whichever way that this turns out, right? But the MTA know who they clientele is. They know who they employees are, right? They not stupid. They not stupid. But they know that when it comes to me, like, Even in my damn packet, right? The lawyer for the MTA, he kept insinuating my salary, right? With my outside employment, he kept insinuating my salary, and I'm like, why are you mad at how much I'm making when that has absolutely to do with nothing? When this same lawyer was going to speak to my doctors, and I speak to my doctors, and they say, yo, Tramell, you know, we had a deposition with the MTA attorney, and he's trying to make me mad about how much money that you're making at your other job. Is that his position? It's not my fault.
No, not at all.
That you wasted all this time to go be a lawyer and go work for the MTA and make less money than me as a conductor and as a black man. Like, I heard this guy foaming at the mouth, complaining about my outside job, and guess what the judge told him? The judge was like,
"That's none of your business."
Well, guess what? Not only that, he can't perform his MTA job. That doesn't preclude him from working somewhere else and doing other type of work. It's not my fault that I get paid to think, and you get paid to be in an office and upset and mad because this man, this conductor, is outpacing you. Don't be mad at that. Be mad at you.
But then on top of that, what happened?
God bless.
Yeah, but then what happened with the light duty jobs? You understand? If you can't work in your title, they're supposed to have jobs. If you could come to work and be able to work, they're supposed to have jobs just for that. Not just for pregnant women and everything else. Light duty jobs is titled light duty jobs for a reason.
The MTA don't care about no light duty jobs, and they definitely don't care about giving me a light duty job.
Oh, okay. Which brings me to my next topic.
They don't care about that.
Okay. Which brings me to my next topic and subject and topic, which is safety. I want to ask you a question. And I don't know, I've never heard nobody ask this question before, but when it comes down to the pics, who said it was all right for people to post a pic that you won on social media, Facebook, with your first name, last name, location, pass number, lunchtime, all that? Who said, who made that? I don't think that's safe. Do you think that's safe? Like, you can't go to nobody else's job to ask them, can I see Mr. O'Neill? Is he in today? They wouldn't give you that information. If you don't see them, they're not going to say, oh, no, he's off today. He's on vacation. He's out sick. He's whatever. You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's not
that
safe,
can't be,
because
safe.
Anybody that's looking for you could find you.
Exactly.
Right? Anybody who's looking for you could find you, right? And but you gotta remember who we're working for. We're working for the MTA. No matter how much they say that they care about safety, we know that they don't. Their action speaks louder than their words. Their action speaks louder than their words. Literally, in our workplaces, on buses, on trains, on station platforms, those are our offices. Our offices is being shot up. Our offices is we seeing people getting stabbed, slashed, assaulted.
Shot. Yeah. Yeah.
These are our offices, right? They don't care, because what did they do different? And let me point this out to the people. When Hochul was looking for re-election, what did we see everywhere in the system? Police
Hochul
officers
pitches.
Was everywhere.
Everywhere.
Police officers was everywhere. Then as soon as she get elected, everything is back to normal. So what it shows you is that our safety is nothing but a political ploy for these people. When it's time for them to be re-elected, they want to flood NYPD out there. As soon as they get what they want from us, everything is back to normal.
Hey, well,
they
we know that's far for the court.
Our safety.
That's far for the court. That's par for the course. That's just like all the politicians that want to get elected is in the pulpit kissing the babies. You understand what I'm saying? That ain't nothing but pomp and circumstance. You understand? The Wizard of Oz. You know what I'm saying? Let's do this way so everybody feels all warm and fuzzy, and then after that, you know, it's back to business as usual. You know, but if you stand for nothing, you'll fall for anything. And that's just how it goes.
If the MTA cared about safety, right, and no matter if you're working on a bus line, if you're working on a train line, if you're working at a certain station, don't you think that the same way how NYPD have a roll call before they go out there and they talk about the dangers and this has happened in this specific area, don't you think that train crews should have a roll call of, hey, you know, an assault happened right here with your coworker. There was a shooting here. We find out about what's happening either through the news or family members. When that mass shooting happened at on
Eden,
36th Street on the R line, no, I mean, that was the second one. When it happened on the R line, there was plenty of workers who did not know what was going on. Why? Because the MTA never alerted us. They found out through the news. They found out through family members calling them to ask them, is they okay? They never alerted the workers. Don't you think that we should be the first to know what's going on if there's something happening in our general area where we work at?
Facts.
We find out through communications of our own. What kind of liability do supervision and management have when it comes to our safety? Well, if there's women being sexually assaulted in a particular area in Manhattan, don't you think that it's prudent that the workers in that area know what's going on, men and women, specifically the women?
Yeah.
How do they not see that as a safety issue?
Yeah.
Right.
I remember when station agents used to talk about streakers and guys coming to their booths, you know, stripping on a late night third tours and all that, and you know, nobody knows about it, or they get a pick or they pick out, and then they come back or somebody else wins that pick, And then they go to that station and they get subjugated to all of that same stuff because it's not known or they don't make it known. You understand?
No, without a doubt. But they do it on purpose because it's the same reason why they was denied. If we remember in the beginning of the pandemic, they was denying us wearing masks. Why? Because they didn't want to scare the public. So all of this, our safety is put to the back burner because they want ridership. That's what this is all about. This is about ridership. They not telling us the truth. And we know what's going on. Yeah, do we want more riders in the system? Absolutely. We love
No, we want more riders. We want more paying riders. Hell, I get on a bus, one person pays, and 40 people get on and don't pay. I mean, that makes no sense. You understand? And I don't see nothing being done about that. When I go on the train and I see police officer presence, you know, most of them is even just on the platform, on their phones, they're talking to each other. Now, I understand they got partners, but they also got radios. So I don't know why they're not rocking the northbound plat, the southbound plat, the mezzanines, and the stairways. You know, and they got all the equipment that they need. They got their tasers, they got their guns, they got, you understand what I'm saying? So it's not like they just walking alone. It's not like they're a guardian angel with no weapons or no nothing. But at least even the guardian angels was patrolling the doggone platforms and, you know, stairways and mezzanines, you know, when they got in the system and they got nothing but flat. You remember that?
Absolutely. And we never heard of a major crime happening and the assailants running right into police right there, right? They acting like, now, I get it. Yeah, the police officers are civil service too. But we just asking everyone to do their job. The NYPD and transit is acting like that NYPD don't be in our facility sleeping. Right? Okay. They can make an argument with the phones. They can make an argument. You know what? They are issued phones. And sometimes they get calls through the phones. They have jobs that they pick up through the phones, right? So, I get that, right? But let's not act like that they ain't on a personal phone most of the time instead of their job phone. Let's not act like NYPD is angels in this whole entire thing. When they don't do their job, everyone suffers. And that's the point that they are failing to see. When NYPD do not do their job, the workers suffer and the riding public suffer. NYPD is not one of those jobs where you could be lackadaisical. It's not one of those jobs where you could be lazy. You even have inside jokes between, they call it the cops on the street top side and the subway cops. The top side cops say that if you don't want to work, you become a subway cop because they lazy.
Yeah, but then don't forget.
That's the running joke at NYPD.
But they took out the transit cop and they unified everybody now, so they all under one umbrella. So there's no difference
it's still
now.
Separate. It's the subway cops is different from the top side cops. It's still separate.
Okay.
But the thing is that they acting like that NYPD is not playing a role in our safety and the riding public safety. Am I saying that all the NYPD is bad? Absolutely not. That's not what I'm saying. But what I'm saying is that when a cop does not do their job, right, and provide a presence, if they hiding out in our rooms and they not out there providing a presence, a presence alone says a lot. People are less likely to commit a crime in front of a cop.
That's right, deterrence.
That's just the truth. Yeah, right? They deter, right? People are less likely. So if these cops, if you have a few bad cops not where they're supposed to be, then they put everybody at risk. And that's what we're saying. Do not discount the things that we are saying. Just like how they're bad, they're people get complaints on transit workers every day, right? You get complaints about any public-facing job, you're going to get complaints. Nobody's 100%. And I'm quite sure when these police officers get caught doing something wrong, they are punished. But a police officer is not one of those jobs where you could really take a minute off. especially on duty. You cannot shirk your duties as a police officer because it put everyone in danger. And nobody want to address it. But as soon as I would address it, I'm the bad guy. Terrell is the bad guy. You know, when you hear from a coworker that there are alleged assaults happening in the system where there was confirmed assaults happening in that same general area, and I make a video warning people of the alleged allegations that I heard. The MTA want to punish me for it, so for making the MTA look bad. This is not about, that's what they don't get. This is not about the MTA. This is about keeping people safe and keeping them on alert. How can if we, they ain't they motto, if you see something, say something? If we don't know about something, how we know what's going on? They are all over the place, but these charges against me is nothing but an attempt to fire me, to shut me up, and to interfere with our union elections this year. This is all it's about. But like I said, if Richie Davis, specifically speaking, the dual employment, if he don't throw no muscle behind that and they blow this case, because I'm going to let them handle the case, they blow this case, every single member is going to be affected. Because what happens is that the MTA, they would definitely controvert every single case. Dare you to get a job so they could fire you. Because everybody know the MTA spend all this money to hire you, then they spend the next 25 years attempting to fire you. That's what they do. That's what they do. There's absolutely no secret about that. Right? Like, how can you be mad at me for getting employment because they not paying me? And trust me, I don't think it's about the employment, because if I was working at McDonald's or Burger King, a fast food joint, making pennies on the dollar, they wouldn't even care. But it's the fact of where I'm working, who I'm working for, how much I'm making, that I had to report to dual employment, in which I'm glad that I did it. I mean, not dual employment, workers comp, in which I'm glad that I did it. Because then they would have brought workers' comp fraud charges on me, and then in that case, they would have been right. They would have been right because they would have said, oh, you know, he didn't report it. He's trying to do this. Even though they wasn't paying me, they would have had some type of validity to it, because that was the only income that I was entitled to at the time was workers' comp. Even though they wasn't paying me, I made sure to report that.
There you go.
Right? And then they tried to use it against me, and the judge is like, no.
And yeah, that's the next thing. I keep telling everybody, y'all got to know y'all rules, constitution, and bylaws. When you was talking about penalties and everything else, one should be able to know whatever they did wrong, what penalties can enforce, what can be watered down or whatever. They got to know when to fight and how to fight. You understand? I mean, all this stuff is printed in black and white. You know, it's like, it's nothing that's hidden or secret. You know what I'm saying? But when one doesn't know, knowledge is key. And reading is power.
That's a fact, bro. That's a fact. I'm going to leave the final word to you. Anything else?
Hey, listen, man. All I want everybody to understand is that nobody's going to fight for you harder than you could fight for yourself. You know what I'm saying? Edify yourself in everything that you do in your work environment and everything else, so that you know what's going on around you, that you know how people are going to attack you, how people are going to come for you, and how to circumvent, how to move, how to bob and weave. You understand what I'm saying? If you going in the boxing ring, if you don't know your opponent, you already lost the fight. You understand? And fighting is 90% mental and 10% physical. Remember that. And that's all I got to say. So, you know, people need to stand up. You know, people need to talk out. And people need to stand behind not just somebody else, but stand up for themselves. Because it's not just your fight. It's the fight for your family. It's the fight for you to live your life. It's the fight for you to pay your bills. You know, it's the fight for you to live. See, they're not attacking your monetary side. They're attacking your life, which encompasses everything. That's all I got to say. I'm going to get off this soapbox.
I appreciate you, my brother. Thanks for calling me.
All right, peace.
I mean, this place is out of control, man. They have absolutely no integrity, no moral compass. They'd be like, look, if you're speaking out against us, you're an enemy. You're an enemy. Right? They hold charges. Like, this is another crazy thing. A lot of this stuff is from 2021. Why is it just now coming up? Right? Now, they made the argument that if I'm being brought up on disciplinary charges, even though I'm out on comp, I got to come answer those charges. Why don't the same thing happen with the investigation process? So I could come in to answer disciplinary charges, but you can't call me out. You can't call me while I'm out on comp to be a part of an investigation, which allows them to drag out the investigation and use it against me whenever they feel like they want to push the button. You mean to tell me that when all my disciplinary things, and I was in the clear last December, now all of a sudden charges that happened after this investigation was brought up and solidified, but things from 3 years ago is now coming out now? Do any of this stuff sound strange to y'all? Like, they literally could play with your life and do what they want when they want to, especially if they feel they want to get rid of you. Like, this is insane. The MTA do not care about the workers, no matter what they say. Look at their actions. When you're injured, they force you back to work financially. They don't care about your well-being. They do not care about anything. They only care about service, ridership, and discipline. They don't care about anything, and they have never in their life bumped into someone like me that I'm going to continue to advocate for you guys. I'm going to continue to make sure that we working in safe workplaces. I'm going to make sure that we are respected. Because guess what? The work that I'm doing, your union rep should be doing. The president of the union should be doing. I'm complaining about safety, but let's listen to what the former president, Tony Utano, said. Let's check it out. Just imagine that. Imagine that. The union president, when it comes to his kids, he said, hey, kids, you know, the subways is not safe. Here's some money for Uber. Go take an Uber because the subways ain't safe. But he did absolutely nothing to make sure that the workers that he represent is working in a safe environment. But he's doing everything in his power to make sure that his kids do not travel in the system that we work in. How does that make sense? And nothing has changed since he made that comment. They don't ensure that we're safe on the subways. They was just posted a video with a sister station agent with her eye closed. They failed to negotiate anything with safety in our contract. But then the MTA want to discipline me for me complaining, valid complaints, about it not being safe in the subways, as if Kramell Thompson is the one deterring riders from coming onto the system because it's not safe. They out of their mind, man. They out of their mind. It has gotten tremendously worse in the subways. Tremendously worse. Let's get to the next caller.
Tremendously worse. Let's get to the next caller.
Caller 0169. Please turn me down in your background and talk to me like you're talking to me on the phone. What's your name? Where you calling from? Yes, talk to me like you're talking to me on the phone, please.
How you doing, Jamal?
How you doing?
Come on, this is Taiwan Porter. I'm a cleaner at CTA. You know, I talk to you all the time. We used to be on the when you're on the train to pass through all the time. I wanted to let you know I'm out of service as well because I defended myself. And you know, they fight me
from an assault.
Huh?
From an assault? You was assaulted?
I was assaulted, but you know, pretty much, you know, I defended myself, and I wasn't having that. But they still fighting me right now since December, and they saying that the videotape and everything that they see, they only see me hitting. They don't see the person hitting. It's the whole videotape, and I'm sitting here like, oh, so y'all didn't see me get assaulted, so. Y'all turned around, and I got hit with the gate twice, and I got hit with the mop stick, and then when I throw them blows back, I'm the bad guy.
Are they trying to fire you, or you just, like, suspended? What's going on?
I'm suspended, but they got me up for dismissal.
Typical MTA. See, this is the thing. Now, all of a sudden, they don't got the video to show what happened to you. But they got the video to show what you did to the person when you was defending yourself. This is their MTA. These people are out of control. They would rather us sit there and be punching bags to the public versus us defending ourselves. And then the second that we defend ourselves, they want to fire you. Make it make sense.
I wasn't having that.
What is your union rep saying?
They ain't saying much, but like, oh, just, you know, go through this and go through that because they're about to throw the case out in court because the transit had it written like I was a vigilante in the station beating people up instead of like, he was working. And I'm sitting here like, oh, word, the judge was like, no, I'm going to change that. You was working. So it's the judge looking out for me.
And that's what normally happens. Entities outside of the MTA will reason and have common sense and have integrity, something that the MTA lacks. But the MTA want to throw you up under the bus. You have the police who shoot people without guns, who shoot people who's unarmed. And the city, NYPD, everybody will back them. But as soon as a transit worker is put in the same predicament as something as simple as defending themselves, you see the company abandon you.
Yeah.
And the riding public They know that. The riding public knows that, for the most part, I could do whatever I want to do to this transit worker because if they defend themselves, I'm going to get a lawsuit and they probably go get fired. They think that the criminals don't know that.
That's on their whole agenda, bro. I'm sitting here laughing. I said, I got the same philosophy you got. I say it every time I'm in the hearing. I'm like, the same way I came to work is the same way I'm going home. I don't care what y'all say at the end of the day. I got a family to go home to. So I'm gonna go home and get right. I don't know about what y'all talking about. And it's like, oh yeah, but you know, I know that I'm defending myself. And y'all would love me if y'all was getting y'all ass handed to y'all, and I was there and I came to help y'all, it'd be all good. But if I defend myself, I'm in trouble.
Do you know that every single person in labor relations who's telling us how to conduct ourselves never was transit workers? Can you believe that?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The top people in labor relations who write these charges against us never was transit workers. They don't know what we deal with. I don't care how many times they read that rule book. That rule book do not apply when you out there in the field. It's a totally different type of a set of rules out there. Right? This company does not care about the people. And what they do is that this is how they try to mask themselves. They put black people in charge of labor relations for a mostly black workforce. And like I tell people, white supremacy is not a skin color. It's an ideology. So someone black can carry out a white supremacist ideology on black people. Right?
Exactly.
And the workers up there at labor relations, they are white supremacists. Their ideology makes absolutely no sense. In fact, it aligns with white supremacists.
100%.
It does. It does. Like, what job gets mad at the employee for defending themselves from an assault? They want us to be punching bags for the public.
Exactly. And I sit here like this, you know, they go at us hard. Even with, like everything that you was going through, I got hurt on the job. I'm still fighting for my comp. I had to come back. They threatened me with NYSERS. They said, I got dual employment. I'm sitting here hurt as hell. This is what's happening? Okay. And then I go to them. They clear me to get back when I clearly wasn't ready to come back to work. But I went back to work. I knew what to do.
And you came back because you had bills to pay.
Of course. I got kids to take care of, but... You know, I didn't, that threat was different, you know what I'm saying? Because I had to clear it through NYSERS, like, yo, listen, I ain't got no double employment and blah, blah, blah. I said, I'm going to get back to what they do, and if I get hurt again, I'm going right back out again.
That's it. That's it. I'm going to leave you with the final word, bro. Anything you want to say before you go off the phone?
Listen, bro, you're still a big-time leader here. And you fight for us as always. That's why we salute you always. You know, you keep fighting the good fight no matter what. To Broadway, the ivory tower can't do nothing to you, bro. You continue doing what you do. Thanks for everything you do for us, bro.
I appreciate it. Those words mean a lot, man. Thank you.
You're welcome, bro. Thanks again.
You're out. Man, these people, MTA is out of their mind, man. They out of their mind. Definitely public enemy number one. It's not for fake. I know a lot of people in my situation, you know, would have gave up already. Just jumped at work, broken legs, victimized MTA, set me up for the arbitration. I'm thinking that I'm done with all my discipline. They bringing up stuff from 2021, 2022, 2020. The only thing this do is motivate me to keep fighting. It motivates me to keep being an activist. It motivates me to continue to fight for what's right. None of this stuff, like, diminishes my fight for the people. It ignites it. And I know they want me to stop. I would want me to stop, too, if I kept getting exposed every chance I got. But this should be the work of our union reps. Our union reps should be using social media to alert us on things that's happening. Now, you got people like Donald Yates that use social media. He's probably like the main rep that probably use social media. But they're not using it properly. That's why people don't really follow them and like their videos and things of that nature. It's that they're not using it as a tool to really educate the members, to really fight back against the MTA, to really alert the public. The MTA, the union, they got the money to take out ads. They should be shooting commercials, not on 1010 Wins, where people in their 70s listen. They need to take ads for television about what we're going through in the MTA, about the real dangers that's in the subways, the real dangers that's on these buses. We had two, let me see what constitutes a mass shooting. Let me see. Let me see what the FBI considers. Mass killing is three or more killings in a single incident. What's a mass shooting, though? Let me see. A mass shooting is when somebody is killed or injures multiple people. We had two mass shootings in New York City Transit since I've been here. And what changed with our work rules? What changed with our policies? What changed safety-wise? Nothing changed. They act like nothing happened. Same thing with Gary Goebel. He got killed on a train due to arson. Nothing changed with our work rules. There has been multiple deaths of shootings inside the system. Nothing changed with our work rules. Everything remained the same. They do not care. This is not how you show that you care. They showing that they care by disciplining the person who's talking about all the safety stuff. Disciplining the person who exposed their whole workers' comp operation. And for people to say, oh, you know, Ms. Cruz was a disgruntled employee. Most of the people who turn on organizations and things of that nature are disgruntled. That doesn't stop me from doing a show with her. That doesn't stop me from letting you guys know exactly what's going on. This is what happens. Sorry, I missed a couple of calls. But just know that I'm going to continue to advocate for us, to fight for us. And this is going to be the time that we really have to say enough is enough. We really have to say enough is enough. Somebody said, where is his email address for inquiries? If anybody got any questions, comments, or concerns, you can email me at progressiveaction100@gmail.com. That's progressiveaction100, just like that, @gmail.com. But this is the time that we need to stick together and come together. Now, I'm going to let y'all know, I'm going to let y'all in on a little thing that I'm thinking about. Either sometime in March or April, I'm going to bring back the assault march. I think this is the time that we need it. This time I'm going to reach out to public groups to get them to stand with us. And we're going to really push the envelope on the MTA regarding safety. And I've been saying this for years. We got to make allies with the riding public. We're not making no allies with the riding public. We have to make allies with the riding public. We must share out these videos. These videos, I probably got like 500 videos. We must share out these videos. It's a lot of information in these videos. Like, I feel like I'm being shadow banned. Like the videos. break the shadow ban. It's nothing to like the video. It costs you nothing. The MTA and Local 100 want this platform to die. They don't want you to have no voice. They want to be the only voice, and they not even being the voice for us. The MTA don't want me to do this work. This should give you guys enough energy to get behind the people who's advocating for you. Support the people who's advocating for you. Y'all see the Cash App, $Progressive Action 100. The MTA bringing me up on charges because I asked for donations to keep the platform moving. I remember coming upon this new year, and I was like, this is going to be a bad year for the MTA. Everything they was attempting to hide and lie about, they're going to be exposed this year. And we actually seeing it in real time. We're seeing it in real time. Now, I do think that in some aspect, we got to come together and work together. And we got to separate ourselves from the people who's selling us out. There's no coming together. If you got a cancer in your body, the key to get the cancer out the body, not unite with it. And we have a lot of cancers inside Local 100. A lot of them officers who's worrying about their release time. They love to discredit the platform. They love to discredit me. But guess one thing they never did? They never asked to be on the show to discredit me in front of the people. I've basically begged them to call into the show. I got an open hotline number. They could call in and discuss whatever they want to discuss respectfully. They never called in. But they love to have secret campaigns. Oh, don't listen to Progressive Action. Don't listen to Tramell. If someone had a platform like what I have here, and they was, I'm saying that they giving out wrong information or they this and they that, the first thing I'm going to do is call into their show. I'm going to embarrass them in front of their followers. Not one time was that done. They never called into the show. They could discredit it all they want. If they want to embarrass me or make me look bad or show that I don't know what I'm talking about, call into the show. Don't have secret campaigns at shop gates, union meetings. Oh, don't listen to those guys on the internet. Yeah, the guys on the internet is telling the truth. Ask your union rep why they never call into the show since they talk so much stuff to discredit me. Because they can't. And this is an open platform for anyone. If Richie Davis feel like I'm wrong about something, tell him to call in. I would love to have a conversation with him. Donald Yates, I would love to have a conversation with him. Any one of those guys, any department, we can have this conversation. But they know it won't work out good for them. They want to be corrupt in peace. They want to be corrupt and not allow you to have an opinion. The MTA want to worry about ridership and not allow you to have an opinion. This is who they are. They don't want you to complain about the elephant in the room. They don't want you to worry about safety, even though people getting shot all over the place in New York City transit. They want you to be good slaves. They want you to do as they say. They don't want you to have a brain to think for yourself. They want to keep these trains and buses moving by any means necessary. They do not care about you. This is a fact. Action speaks louder than words. Not after one egregious incident did they write something to keep us safe. But let a train operator hit a signal. Let a conductor hit somebody with doors. Let a bus operator flag a stop. You get a bulletin the next day. But anything regarding our safety, we got to figure it out for ourselves. This is who we work for. Now I hear people saying, well, yo, if you don't like it here, why don't you just leave? Let's go back to people knowing what their true value is. Yes, I get it. You want to know what? For the most part, the MTA give you decent pay. Does the MTA pay more than McDonald's? Does it pay more than working at Staples or Target? Yes. Can you make a decent amount of money here with overtime with just a high school diploma? Yes. But if you know your worth and you know your value, you won't be worried about getting terminated here. I know outside of the MTA, there's better options for me. I know that. I'm confident that I could go and make a good living for myself and don't have to worry about the MTA. I'm doing it now. They want you to be relying on them. And guess what? If you don't have the skill set, if you don't believe in yourself, that's cool. And you feel like this is your only option, that's cool. I'm not mad at that. But I'm going to continue to fight here and stay here for as long as I can, because I'm not leaving until either they fire me or I see some type of significant change. I understand that I have a lot of entities working against me. I got NYPD mad at me. I got Local 100 administration mad at me. I have the MTA mad at me. I'm cool with that. I sit here and I fight. Listen, I got called for supervision in 2016. I could have easily thought about myself, thought about my family, and went about my way and let y'all figure it out. I decided to turn that down to stay here and fight with y'all. I've been offered better paying jobs outside of the MTA. Better paying, less stress, better work-life quality. I decided to stay here and fight with y'all. Fight for us. And I do this because these are God's plans, not mine. I am a man on a mission. I lost a lot of money staying here at the MTA, fighting for people who normally wouldn't fight for themselves. And I don't have one damn regret doing it. I will continue to take the licks, to take the punishment, take the discipline. to make us a day better out there when we in the field and we working for a whole bunch of people who don't give a damn if we make it back home to our families in one piece. I'm willing to lay my personal career on the line, and I've done it plenty of times, to make sure that we are heard, to make sure we are felt. To make sure that they recognize us more than a number. We get no respect in the city. And it's not because of us, because we do a phenomenal job out here. But the people who represent us is not doing us any justice. They just went up to Albany for the Black, Latino, and Asian caucus and party. When they should have been using that time to advocate for us every minute they was up there. They are not lobbying any politicians to make sure we have protection in Albany against these assaults. Trying to change the narrative on workers' compensation. Attempting legislatively to get COLA in our contract. They not doing a damn thing. But eating high off the hog from our union dues. Every member in the MTA pays union dues. And the union don't care, because they know faithfully through the MTA they are collecting our union dues and it's funding their paychecks. We do not work for the union reps. They work for us. We are their constituents. If this union was functioning properly and they was fighters the way that they say that they fighters, I wouldn't get not one phone call. There's dozens of elected officers in this union. And they don't do a tenth of the work of what I do. Why is that? The members should easily be able to tell the difference of the people who's doing the work and the people who's taking pictures on social media to make them think that they're doing the work. Now, I'm going to be real. Not every rep is bad. A lot of them don't have no direction. But I'm quite sure a lot of them have good hearts. Their heart is in the right place. But goddamn, release time is one hell of a drug. I seen release time turn good-hearted people to the status quo. And all of them try to act like, nah, it ain't the release time. I go back to my tools. I'll go pick up the broom and dustpan. I'll go operate a train. I'll get back on the bus. Reminds me of the crackhead. Y'all remember of the in the movie New Jack City? I forgot what the crackhead name was, but she thought that she was still the prom queen. Release time is that same type of drug. You want to see a grown man cry? Send him back to his tools. You want to see a grown woman have a grudge? Send her back to her tools. Then they ready to tell everything. Oh, he sent me back to my tools. That release time is one hell of a drug. I've seen it what it does to people. At least time stop people from advocating. It silences people. I remember, you know, even with the progressive action and the people who ran up under me and RTO, those are some good-hearted people. But that release time changes them. What brings into question, were they really who they said they are? And history and time has shown that they not. One thing that you could say about Tramell Thompson is that he remains consistent. I've been consistent this entire time. Nobody could ever say Tramell changed. Right now, I'm in the best position politically in my life. And I remain the same. When I talk about knowing my worth and knowing my value, it applies here too. I don't care about the fame I get from this. The only thing I care about is the work. And I appreciate people supporting the platform. I appreciate y'all when y'all see me. Y'all tell me how y'all grateful for the work that I'm doing. Y'all ask for pictures. I appreciate it. But you know what means more to me? Is when people tell me, how can I help? How can I be on your team? How can I support the movement? That's what really matters to me. Because we are all in this together. When it comes to this Local 100 stuff, there's no spectators. There's nobody in the bleachers and the nosebleed seats or courtside. All of us are players in this. And we could be called into the game at any given moment. We could be called into the game at any given moment. Don't look at it that way. We are all stakeholders in this. Whether we don't, if we don't have the same political views, if we don't like the same food, if we don't dress the same, we have one thing in common. We are Local 100 members. And you don't gotta like me, and I don't have to like you. But when it's time for us to come together, we should come together. And I know the union like to use that argument and say, well, why he won't come together with us? Because I'm not with that go along and get along thing. Not with it. I'm not with that. I have an opinion. I have an opinion. This is insane. It's sad what the union leadership do to keep us apart. If you don't go along with them, they look at you as an outsider. If you criticize them, they act like they're above critique. They act like they're above critique. I'm trying to find something for you guys. I want to show y'all something. One second, let me find it this way. They act like they're above critique. Let me me see something. Let me see. I'm trying to show y'all something if I can find it. But yeah. And it's sad, like the whole Richie Davis situation. He had the opportunity to be great. He had the opportunity to be great, and he decided to fall in line. And that's why we can't move forward. People afraid to say what's really going on. That's why y'all got me. What did Al Pacino say in Scarface? Take a good look at the bad guy. Take a good look at the bad guy. You mean see the bad guy? See the bad guy. It's never gonna stop. Never gonna stop. I promise y'all that. Promise y'all that. When God tell me to stop, then that's when I'm gonna stop. Other than that, I ain't stopping. So with that being said, I need you guys to like, share, and subscribe to the channel. I don't care where you're watching. You're watching on YouTube, join the page for 99 cents a month. Send a super chat. Donate. If you're watching on Facebook, subscribe to the platform. Hit the Cash App. Hit the Cash App. $Progressive Action 100. Support the platform. And make sure y'all see the description in the link. Go get your Progressive Action hats. The NTA don't like that. They call that dude employment. I'm just promoting my movement. But they think I'm supposed to give away hats. I mean, I give away a lot of stuff, but I can't give away everything. But yeah, and I'm going to leave y'all with this quote right here. And it's simple. Like who likes you. Peace. Catch y'all later.